Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for breakthroughs and blessings we have received from you. Thank you for beautifying our lives with your glory. Thank you for your power and authority, defending us and giving us victories. Thank you, faithful Lord. We thank you for your presence in our lives. By your presence, we have our strength being renewed day by day. By your presence in us, we grow in faith and revelations. By your presence, we receive guidance and direction from your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you because you have great plans for us, and you shall take us into the manifestation of those plans. Thank you for how you have been correcting us, edifying us, transforming us, reviving us through the teachings we do here every Tuesday. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you will do even tonight as we have this class. I ask, O God, that you bless everyone that will be listening to this teaching. Let the entrance of these words into their hearts cause great deliverances, healings, transformation, and spiritual growth in the name of Jesus. I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you correctly explain and interpret the truths I will be mentioning or talking about in the hearts of everyone, such that no one will be ignorant of what you want them to know. Thank you, Father, because I know you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the teaching class. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord will open your understanding. And you will know these things even beyond how I will be teaching them by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue from where we stopped during the last class. Remember that we have been teaching on the need for believers' fellowship. We stopped at point C, under point number one. Point number one is the Bible instructs us to fellowship. And then there is C under that point. So you can call it 1C. That was where we stopped. And the point says the restraint in united fellowship. There's another scripture verse I want us to look at in this point C. Let's look at the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28, verse 15. Acts of the Apostles, 28, verse 15. You can open your Bibles there. Acts of the Apostles 28, verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Yeah. We are saying there is strength in united fellowship. There is strength in united fellowship. So in this passage, Paul was going through a kind of distress. I mean, Apostle Paul was going through a kind of distress. Yeah, he was arrested for defending the gospel. And in fact, they had to ship them, him and some other prisoners. They had to put them on a ship, on a very big ship, and they began to travel on the water, and the mission was to deliver all of them to Rome. Yeah, so Paul was going through a lot of distress in this passage. Even at a certain point, if you read from verse 1 of this Acts chapter 28, at a certain point, their ship or their boat capsized. Yeah, so he went through a lot and he needed to be encouraged. And when the brethren, the believers at Rome, when they heard about what Paul had gone through and that he is now present in Rome, all of them came. Yeah, all of them came to meet him. Yeah. If you read verse 14, Acts chapter 28, verse 14, it says, "Where we found brethren, and we desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome." Yeah. At every point, Paul met with the brethren along this journey of distress and pains. He was always comforted and encouraged. Yeah. Yeah. So, I think they have not gotten to Rome. In this verse 15, I think they have not yet gotten to Rome. It was in verse 16 they reached Rome. Yeah, but the point is that Paul was encouraged and he thanked God that he saw people of the same mind with him. He was encouraged. And he thanked God that there were brethren at that place he found himself, which was a strange land. Yeah, a strange land. So when he met brethren there, he was comforted. He was encouraged. Now, this is how strong believers' fellowship can be. There is this kind of courage and comfort and strength that comes from the fellowship of, or maybe I should say that comes from fellowshipping with other brethren, especially when you're personally going through some distress, some problems, some pains. And so when you see brethren stand by you, it gives you some courage. Yeah, if you can think back on the story of Elijah, one of the things that got Elijah so discouraged to the point that he was begging God to kill him, one of the things that got him so discouraged was the fact that he thought he was the only one. He was the only prophet around at that time. Yeah, he thought there was no other brethren who has same mind with him. So he thought there was no other person who has same faith with him, same love for God, same passion for the things of God. Yeah, so he felt like, he said, I'm not better than my ancestors. Yeah. Yeah, he said, God should kill him. That was what he said. So, you can see that there is strength. There is great strength when you are surrounded by brethren. There is great strength when you receive support and you receive love and helps from the brethren during challenging times. Yeah. So let us appreciate the gift of fellowship that is in the body of Christ. Let us appreciate this provision of God, the gift of fellowship, the fact that you're not the only one that is a Christian, and also the fact that the way God has been dealing with you, there are some other people somewhere, or maybe even close to you, maybe even around you, maybe in your community, there are some other people somewhere God has been dealing with also, the same way he has been dealing with you. There are some other people somewhere that have the same passion you have for Christ. Some other people somewhere that have the same love, the same faith you have in Christ. Yeah. So when we appreciate this, it makes us get stronger. Yeah. It makes us get stronger. Now, I want to read the frustration. I want to read about the frustration of Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. But he himself went in this journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Yeah. So he was frustrated because there was no nobody to stand with him. Though there was a servant. He had a servant, but at the point Elijah disposed that servant. He said, "You can go." Yeah. You know, he told the servant, he said, you can go. And then he just kind of trying to pour his heart onto God. And more importantly, he was trying to ask God to kill him. Yeah, because he felt like there is nobody else to defend him, nobody else to encourage him. So he felt lonely. Yeah, so how do we know that Elijah's frustration and depression at that point was linked to loneliness? How do we know that? If you read verse 14, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. I read, and he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Yeah, so you can see, it felt like no one else is saying what I am saying. No one else believes what I believe. Yeah, so that was part of Elijah's frustration at that point. He felt he was the only one who is trying to defend the Lord God of Israel, or who is trying to defend the law of the Most High God, especially the law that they should not worship other gods, they should love God with the whole of their heart. Yeah, so he felt like he was the only one trying to do that, and he felt like he felt like this burden is too big for me to carry. There should be people to bear this same burden with me. Yeah, so he felt like if I'm the only one left, then let me just die. Yeah, but let us see what God told him in that same scripture. I just want to pick some few parts. Okay. In verse 18. Yeah. First Kings chapter 19, verse 18. Now God told him that. God told him something that was shocking to Elijah. You know, God told Elijah something that was new, something he didn't know. God said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Yeah, God said, you know, God told him that you think you are alone in this warfare, in this battle, but you are not. I have other people like you who is resisting the demonic system, who has rejected the worship of Satan. So God said, I have 7,000 left Yeah. So if Elijah was aware that there are 7,000, I'm sure he would not be that discouraged. He would not be that frustrated and depressed to the point that he was asking God to kill him. Yeah. If he was aware that there are 7,000 somewhere, all he would try to do is to get to where those people are. And he knows that once he reached the company of those believers, you will be strengthened. I don't know if you are getting the picture I'm trying to show you, that there is strength in the in believers' fellowship. There is strength in united fellowship. Yeah, when believers come together in unity, there's a way we strengthen each other. Yeah. There's a way we encourage each other. So there are some people out there. There's some people out there some believers out there that don't really need your money. What they need is that you spend time with them. That's what they need. That you sit down with them, encourage them, exhort them in the word of God or with the word of God. Yeah, remind them of how faithful God is. Remind them of how loving God is, how powerful God is. So some believers on that is all they need from us. Yeah, and that to them at that time is better than gold, because your words of encouragement, your words of counsel and caring will go a long way to strengthen them at that time that they are going through terrible situations. Yeah, so let us, number one, seek the fellowship of one another. And then, in the environment where you are, look around. Look around, check for people who have the same faith with you. Yeah, though you have to trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. Yeah, because some people, they look like believers, but they are not believers. Some people, they only go to church, but they are not even born again yet. Yeah. So, but my point is, seek for fellowship. Yeah. So, in your environment, check around or look around. Look for people who love the Lord like you do. People who have the same mind that you have. I mean, the same spiritual mindset that you have, or kingdom mindset that you have. Yeah. People who have the same passion, the same vision that you have. And try to fellowship with them. So you can just ask them and say, okay, like maybe a neighbor close to you. Now, what I'm saying here also requires spiritual discernment, and it requires that you are being led properly by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so you can just check a neighbor and, you know, tell them that can we have some time together to discuss the word of God, if you don't mind. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That was how the early church believers, that was how they grew spiritually, and that was how they became so strong that the toughest persecutions could not destroy them. The early Christians, they had this strong bond of fellowship, to the point that they were willing to die together. They were willing to die for one another. they had this strong bond of fellowship. And that was why when they were persecuted, they still could not stop them. They were persecuted, some of them were killed, but yet they did not stop. I mean the church continued. Yeah, because of the bond of fellowship. So the demonic and satanic governments of those days could not silence them. They could not stop them. They could not shut down the church, because the people were so strongly bonded together in love and in fellowship. Yeah, in those times they do a lot of home church in those days in the early church. They do more of home church fellowship than what many of us do nowadays. You know, many churches nowadays have big cathedral, big buildings, big church building where you have like thousands seated to hear the word of God. And there was nothing like that when the apostles began to preach the gospel. There was nothing like that. So what was common was home church, apart from the fact that they do some meetings in the synagogue. But when persecution came, some of the meetings that used to go on in the synagogue, they were shut down by the Jewish leaders. Yeah, they did not allow Christians to meet in the synagogue. So Christians have to be meeting in the homes of, I don't know what to call it. Christians have to be, Christians ended up having those meetings inside houses of believers. Yeah, so there's nothing wrong in trying to speak with a believer in your neighborhood, in your community, or maybe I should say believers in your neighborhood or community, and trying to tell them that can you allow me to spend some can we spend some time together in the word of God in your house or in my house? Can we have moments of prayers? Can we have moments of Bible study in my house or in your house? Yeah, and this does not have to do with you want to start a church. This does not have to do with starting a church or now you are a pastor because you are organizing a Bible study discussion class in your house. That does not mean you are now becoming a pastor, or that does not mean you are now a church founder. No, that does not mean that. I mean, that doesn't make you a church founder. Yeah, it is what the early church brethren do a lot. Yeah, it is what they did a lot. They did a lot of home church fellowship. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong in you having fellowship in your house, even with brethren that don't go to the same church with you. Yeah, they don't have to be they don't have to be your church member. I mean, they don't have to be a member of your denomination or your church. Yeah, as long as they are Christians, you can just meet together and strengthen each other. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So when we sit together, discuss the scriptures together, discuss spiritual things together, sing songs together, worship together, pray together. Yeah, it goes a long way to strengthen ourselves. Yeah, and it will make you to be able to stand when challenges come in your life. Yeah, because once the brethren got to know about your challenge, they will come around you and strengthen you with the word of God. Yeah. So if you have this kind of fellowship going on now, it will help you when you are going through a crisis or you have a certain challenge or a problem in your life. In fact, it will help shorten the length of the crisis or the problem you might find yourself at any point in your time. Because when the believers gather together to encourage you and then to pray for you, if let's say you were meant to spend 3 years in that problem before coming out, with the support of believers, with the intervention of believers, and with the fellowship of believers, you might just spend 3 days or 3 weeks. What could have taken 3 years before you overcome? I mean, a problem that you know that could have taken 3 years before you overcome, with the support of brethren, it could just take 3 days or 3 weeks. So that shows you how we need each other. So number one, as I said, is that you should seek fellowship with brethren. Don't isolate yourself. Yeah. Look around for brethren and request to have fellowship together with them. Yeah. That's number one, because there's a lot of benefits in doing that. And then number two is let the brethren be aware, or maybe I should say, you need the intervention of the brethren during challenges of life. So if you do number one correctly, which is seeking to have fellowship with other brethren, that number two will happen when you find yourself going through some challenges. Yeah. So brethren will stand with you, and they will stand to encourage you and to pray for you. Yeah. So and if let's say you already have that number one fixed, then let the brethren be aware when you are going through certain situations, so that they can support you. Now, like I said before, that some people, they just call themselves Christians, but they are not actually Christians. Yeah, so through the help of the Holy Spirit, God will lead you to those brethren that should know about what you are going through. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Yeah, and if one, two, or three, or four of them join in prayer, stand with you, before you know it, you will see a lot of breakthroughs and victories happen to you or happen in your life. That's how powerful the fellowship of the brethren is. Now, in that place that we read, in Acts chapter 28, verse 15, it says, when Paul saw those brethren, he thanked God and took courage. So, meaning that Paul was at that point getting discouraged, or maybe getting perplexed or whatever. So when he saw those brethren, he was excited. He was encouraged. So sometimes when you ask God to deliver you from a problem or to remove a problem from your life, the first thing God will do sometimes is to give you brethren, is to bring you in contact with people that will stand with you in prayer. Yeah, not brethren that are polluted, not brethren that, you know, that have another mind that is not the mind of Christ. Yeah, but brethren that are, you know, that are strong and that are faithful. So God will give you those brethren to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to pray with you. So now, let's look at another point. Point D. Which is, it is hard to be without fellowship. That is point D. It is hard to be without fellowship. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 10, it says, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help. Yeah, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for there is no other person to help him. Yeah, that is why we need to fellowship with one another. Yeah, so that when you fall, or when others fall, we will be able to, you know, lift up ourselves. Yeah. Believers' fellowship is very needful. I mean, very needful. Very needful. And we must seek for it. Yeah. In fact, we must pray for it. You must pray for it. You might think you are doing well alone. I don't need anyone. I'm doing well as a Christian. I don't need any other believer. I don't need prayer partner or prayer partners. but you are wrong. You need believers. I'm telling you the truth. You need believers to stand with you. Now, somebody like me now, there's so much I would have done for the kingdom of God if I have believers standing with me. Now, I'm not saying all of you are not standing with me, but I'm talking about people standing with me more, like people coming to stay around me. We pray together. We, you know, we discuss the things of God's kingdom. I tell them what God has been showing me, and then they believe what God has been showing me, and they say, they say, man of God, if God has shown you this, then why can't we do it? Let's do it. Yeah, so if I have people like that, I would have done great things for the kingdom of God. So but there are many things I can't do, because I'm still praying for the right fellowship for me to be able to do those things. for God's kingdom. Yeah, it's not as if there are not Christians around me, but majority of those Christians, they don't have the kind of mind that I have. Yeah, there was a time I was trying to fellowship with some ministers of God. Yeah, I call them pastor friends. Yeah, but later I discovered that they don't have the kind of mind that I have. So their motive for ministry is so different. So they are doing ministry for some selfish interest. Yeah, they are not sacrificial, they are not selfless. Yeah, so they put themselves first when it comes to doing the work of God. So I could not work with them. And some of them are into witchcraft. Now, when I say witchcraft, I don't mean that they are using dark magic or black magic, but I mean that they use the power of God to satisfy their selfish needs. That is witchcraft. When you use the anointing to satisfy your selfish needs, that is witchcraft. And it will pollute the anointing of God in your life. It will now connect. Your anointing will be so polluted that demons will be feasting on your anointing, or demons will be fellowshipping with your anointing. Yeah, so I withdrew from those ministers because they don't have the same mind that I have. They didn't have the same passion, the same love that I have for God. Now, I'm not saying they have to be like, I'm not saying those ministers have to be at the same level I am spiritually. No. But at least they should have defeated those darkness that God wanted to defeat. Those inward darkness, inner darkness, which is flesh. They should have defeated the flesh in those capacities. Yeah, but those ministers, they haven't defeated the flesh, and it's going to affect my own relationship with God. So I couldn't fellowship with them. So my point is that in the presence of right fellowship, I mean right believers fellowship, there is so much we will accomplish. So much we will accomplish. I mean, a lot. We are going to win a lot of souls. We are going to see a lot of mighty revivals, and even much more manifestation of God's glory when there is right believers fellowship, or when you are in the right believers fellowship. Yeah, so that's what I meant by saying that if I, as a person, have had the right fellowship around me, like right people around me, there is a lot I would have done for the kingdom of God in the earth. I'm sure I would have grown more than this. When I mean grown, I mean the ministry God has placed in my hands would have prospered beyond this level. If God has given me the right kind of people to walk with me, yeah, even people to pray for me, if there are just people to pray for me, that alone will go a long way to help me succeed a lot in the ministry. If there are just people that say, okay, we know God has called you to do this, we will not stop praying for you. We will dedicate hours to pray for you. That alone will take me very far. So you cannot do without the fellowship of the brethren. It's impossible. So if you feel like I can do everything alone, sorry, if you feel like I can do everything alone, I can pray alone, I can study the word of God alone, fine, yes, you should be able to do a lot of that alone. but you still need a fellowship of believers to have the kind of success God wants you to have. So you need to work with others. You need to support others, and others need to support you. So that is fellowship. So fellowship is not one-sided. Fellowship is we are helping each other. So when you are in fellowship, you don't assume like you are greater than every other people there. So you don't assume like you know more than every other people. So just as you want to teach them what you have known in your relationship with God, you must also be teachable. You must be humble and be open to learn from others. As I am like that, I learn a lot from others. And there was a time somebody was asking me that, do I have mentors that I follow, that I learn from? Do I have a spiritual father and all of that? Yeah, but they were surprised when I tell them that I learn a lot from many people. Because the person felt like, I know everything, and they felt like, I don't want to learn from any other person. I know everything. I don't need any other person's view about the things of God. Like, only my own view is what I follow. And that is wrong. I learn a lot from many people. Yeah, so in fellowship, you don't just act as if you are the only one who knows everything. And you want to teach everything. So you don't give the others chance to also pour out their heart and share their own revelations they have of Jesus Christ, or their own experiences they have with God, or testimonies. Yeah. So fellowship is we help each other. That's why the Bible calls it iron sharpens iron. So you sharpen the brethren also sharpens you. Yeah, that's what happened in fellowship. Yeah, so I'm repeating it again for the sake of emphasis. You need the believer's fellowship. Even in your neighborhood, in your community, you need the believer's fellowship. You need prayer partners. So a prayer partner or prayer partners are people that people come together to pray. Now, this is not the prayer in that we do in the ministry. This is not just this is not about the prayer we do in the ministry or the prayer you do in your church. This is about, fellowship among brethren that is outside of church. Yeah. So you have people you join hands together or meet together to pray and to search the scriptures together. Yeah, you need it a lot. You need it to move forward in all areas of your life. Yeah, so it is hard to be without fellowship. Don't feel comfortable without fellowship. Now, that doesn't mean you should go into wrong fellowship. I mean, that doesn't mean you should start looking for any person who calls himself Christians to fellowship with. No, you need to pray that God give you the right fellowship. I mean that God bring into your life the right kind of believers to fellowship with. Yeah, but the fact that there are no people around you that you feel share the same vision and the same mindset with you, or the same love for God that you have, doesn't mean you should now conclude that I don't need I don't need any believer's fellowship. I believe you get what I'm trying to say here. So don't just feel like you don't need any fellowship with any brethren. Let me just go to church or attend programs and then just live like that and stay at home. You need to do more than that. You need to do more than just attend church and then go back home or join the program and then you keep to yourself. You need to do more than that. You need to have fellowship with other believers, like one-on-one fellowship. Yeah. Some people, their pastors don't even know them. Yeah. Because they just go to church and then they leave church. They are not part of workers in the church. They are not part of any department in the church. Yeah. They just go to church like that and then they just leave, come back home. They just attend meetings and then they keep to themselves. That is not right. Yeah. So we have to fellowship with one another. It's very important. Very, very important. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Now, if you also look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Yeah, it says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Yeah. This was Paul, Apostle Paul, speaking. He said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that I may not be led to their charge." Now, let me read it from another translation so you can understand better. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Yeah. It says, "The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them." Yeah. So this was Apostle Paul talking here. During the course of his missionary work, he encountered a lot of persecutions. Many times he would be dragged before the court, before the judge, before the traditional elders or leaders. Yeah, and a lot of charges would be pressed against him. Yeah, so at this time of his life, he was expecting that some brethren will stand for him, will stand with him when he was arrested and brought before the judge. But nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. Yeah. He said, "Everyone abandoned me." And then he said, "May it not be counted against them." So which means that if we ignore believers' fellowship, is a sin in the sight of God. If we see one of us going through trouble times, and we have to see we don't even know about it, we have to see it doesn't concern us, it's a great sin before the King of Israel. Yeah. So that was what Paul was saying. "May it not be counted against them that they saw me in pains, in distress, and they acted as if you know, as if they don't even know me. Yeah, so it's very hard to be without fellowship. So let us not neglect the fellowship of one another. It's very important, especially in these last days. It's very important. May the Lord help you to be obedient. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let us move to point number two. You know, point number one was the Bible instructs us to fellowship. Point number two is the reasons for fellowship. The reasons for fellowship. Now, let's look at A, point A, under point number two. Point A is edification and inspiration. The reason for believers' fellowship is edification and inspiration. We fellowship for edification and inspiration. Now, let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. Yeah. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Yeah, so there is edification in fellowship. There are many times God will not tell me certain things, because I'm a very inquisitive believer. I ask God a lot of questions. When I'm personally fellowshipping with God, I mean me and God, which of course is indispensable. Like, that must come first before you and other believer. I mean, the fellowship between you and God must be strong. Yeah, must be strong and must happen always. I wouldn't just say daily, I would say even hourly or every second. You must be connected with God personally. Now, and once that is strongly established, then you must now begin to have good and healthy and pure fellowship with other believers, with other brethren. Yeah, so my point is that there are certain things God would not tell me when I am fellowshipping with Him alone. He will show me a fellowship or a ministry to join or contact. I don't know if I can use the word contact or join or fellowship with them. And while I am following that ministry, I will now get to know what I have been asking God to show me, or the questions I asked Him, you will not be answered as I follow that person or as I follow that ministry. Yeah, so the fact that I have a strong fellowship with God doesn't mean that I will be 100% edified by God. I mean, by that personal fellowship I have with God. So there is God in other believers waiting to receive my fellowship. I don't know if you get my point. God is in other believers waiting for me to meet Him. And I will not meet God inside those believers if I don't meet with those believers. I don't know if you are getting the point. Yeah, so there are things I have learned personally from the Lord. I mean, powerful things, which many of them I share with you. I mean, with every one of you. You can see many of my revelations, encounters with God in my teachings and prayer sessions. But as powerful as that is, God will not still tell me some things until I have fellowship with other believers. So God has revealed those things to those believers, waiting for when I will fellowship with those believers to know what He has revealed to them. So God is in those people waiting for me to meet with those people so I can see Him in those people. I can hear Him from those people's mouths when they share what they have also learned from the Lord. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So this is how the believer's fellowship leads to edification and inspiration. So in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So they continued to have that fellowship and they continued to learn about the doctrine the apostles laid down. Yeah, so meaning that many of them continue to search the scriptures. Okay, let's say the apostles talked about faith. So many of them began to search the scriptures about faith. They began to talk among themselves about faith. Now this person will share what he knows about faith. The other believer will share what he or she knows about faith. And everyone is willing to learn more about those doctrines. So that is what the early church believers were doing. So everyone was sharing what they know about the Lord. And everyone was learning in the process. Yeah, not that some people, there was a sister that said something to me some time ago. She said she liked the way I teach and train people. That I'm not like some pastors who are not willing to teach the followers how God brought them to the level they have spiritually. So she was saying that she has met pastors that they don't break down the things of God's kingdom to the point that people will understand and people will follow those things and grow spiritually. That they kind of make spiritual things difficult for people to understand because they don't want the people to rise spiritually to their level. So I was like, what? I was like so surprised that how could someone, a pastor, feel like he cannot share all that he knows about God, or he cannot share details about how God brought him from spiritual babe, from the level of spiritual babe to be fully grown in the stature of Christ. So I was like, how would a pastor not do that? How would the pastor feel like if I break down the mysteries of God's kingdom, this person will now rise and become greater than I am? Yeah, to me that is foolishness. Yeah, and that is slavery to self, slavery to darkness. Yeah, because I don't believe in that. In fact, if you read the Bible, when God took from the spirit of Moses, and God put the spirit of prophecy that was on Moses, God put that same spirit on, I think, is it 72 elders in Israel? Yeah, as somebody came to Moses and said, we saw these two men, they were prophesying too. Yeah, should we go and stop them? So the person was like, only Moses should be the one prophesying. Only Moses should be the one filled with the Spirit. Only Moses should be the one talking to God at a close range. And Moses said, I wish everyone were prophets. That was what Moses said. He said, I wish everyone was prophet. Yeah, so the same thing with me. I wish everyone is apostles. Because it's going to make the work very easy for me. So I wish everyone is greater than I am spiritually. Honestly, it's going to make the work easy for me. So I won't have to do a lot to get people to understand certain kingdom truths. Yeah, if everyone has the kind of spiritual advancement that I have, or maybe I should say more than I have, it will help my work, the work God has given to me. It will help it to flourish very fast and to succeed very fast. Yeah, so I don't see why a pastor would hide certain things that is powerful to save souls and to train people, and then, you know, would hide those things with the mind that he doesn't want those people to become greater than he is. Yeah, that is demonic. That's a demonic mind or satanic mindset. What was I saying? Yeah, so I said, as we fellowship together, we share what we know with each other. Yeah. Without placing a charge. Yeah. Yeah. So people have asked me how much are we going to pay for the training classes, for the training sessions. I just laughed. I said, you don't have to pay anything. Yeah. So the apostles, they were sharing everything they know, and everyone was growing, everyone was inspired, everyone was edified. So everyone was sharing freely without asking for money. Okay, you have to be paying so amount so that I can be sharing all everything God has, you know, taught me. Yeah, that is wrong. So I'm going to stop here. We'll continue from this point next week. If you have questions, you can ask on the group. Yeah, it'll be faster for me to answer on the group than if you send to my personal inbox. Yeah, so you can just put your question on the group if you have any questions. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us from your word that we must fellowship with one another. Thank you for showing us the beauty in the believer's fellowship, the revival it brings, the glory it brings, the victory it brings. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to know these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you help each and everyone who have listened to this teaching and are willing to begin to do this thing practical in their communities and environment. Lord, I ask that you help them to achieve strong fellowship with other believers in Jesus' name. I pray for you that that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to people that you need to start fellowshipping with in the name of Jesus. And I pray that even in this ministry, we shall have strong believers fellowship. And we shall see the power of God move through these mediums to change lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, remain strong and edified.